I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Mary Jane Evans, also known as the Queen of the Co. She's a DJ on 94.5 The Beat and the owner of Chronic Beauty Bar in Beverly Hills. We talk about how she highlights local artists in her sets, why a hard childhood in North Waco set her up for success, and what hip-hop can do to bring together all communities. But first, it's the word on the street. Last week, Darius Ewing was appointed as the city councilperson for District 4. Darius was one of 8 applicants who interviewed, and although I didn't get the nomination, I'm happy that I was also one of those candidates. The most common phrase that I heard throughout the interviews was racial equity, racial equality, or some variant of the term. It's clear that nationwide protests against police brutality and systemic racism have permeated the local conversations, and it's encouraging to see something that was really just a niche topic a few years ago become such a focus. The precedent was set by Mayor Kyle Deaver, who required the city council to undergo race equity training back in 2019. Afterward, the city council directed city staff to create policy recommendations that make the city more inclusive as an institution and improve job and health outcomes for Black and Hispanic residents. District 4 is the most diverse of all of Waco's districts, with nearly half the population Hispanic, about a quarter white, and a quarter Black. And that's just one reason why Darius Ewing is set up for tremendous success in this role. The 26-year-old is the first person of color to hold the District 4 seat, and he's also one of the youngest city council members in Waco history. Ewing's energy is infectious, and he's indicated that a major goal is making sure that the whole community, not just wealthy parts of downtown or Austin Avenue, are equally represented. Whether it's through city council, an advisory board, or just in your own neighborhood, being active and visible in our communities is more important now than ever. Disease, political unrest, economic anxiety, those issues highlight our deep need for neighbors. This is just one of the topics I discuss in this conversation with Mary Jane Evans. I'm now joined in studio by Mary Jane Evans, the Queen of the Co. MJ is a small business owner who owns Chronic Beauty Bar in Beverly Hills, and she is a radio personality on 94.5 The Beat. You can hear her on Saturday nights. Welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thank you. It's exciting to be here.
What is your Waco history, MJ?
I was born in Waco. Family's here in Waco. Graduated from Waco High, class of 2007. I moved out of Waco right after high school. Moved to Dallas. Went to hair school in Dallas. Started to live up there up until my first son was born. And after that, I moved back home because I wanted him to be close to my mom, close to my mother-in-law. And I kind of just took off ever since I came back home.
So when did you return to Waco?
2016, the year my son was born.
And you had left in 07, is that you said?
Yeah, 07, 08, a little bit right after high school.
So what did Waco in 2016 look like, or what did Waco in 2016 allow you to do that you couldn't have done in 07?
To be honest, what's the most surprising thing was that we had a hip-hop station. When I left out of high school, we didn't have a hip-hop station here in Waco. We had to listen to, you know, Dallas radio station. But when I came back, that was one of the first things that I had to be a part of. I was so excited to. I knew Batman. He's a DJ who's been here all, you know, in Waco. He's a legend here in Waco, and he's on the radio station. I had a close relationship with him at Waco High. He was our truancy officer. Now, that, you know, put those two together, we had a very close relationship. But he was our truancy officer. He actually DJed my graduation party as well. And now he was one of the major DJs on this hip-hop radio station, and I just had to be a part of it. It actually came to Waco while I was in Dallas, living in Dallas. And one time I visit and I ran into Batman and I was like, Batman, you got to get me on the radio. Like, I want to be a part of it. And he said, here's my number. You know, let me know. I'll get you in. But I was living in Dallas. So it was kind of like, you know, in reality, it wasn't going to work out at that time. But as soon as I moved back home, I wanted to gang my clientele. I wanted to as far as doing hair. So I made a post. I was looking for a model, and DJ Precise Price, which is another DJ at the radio station, he wrote on the post and was like, I have someone here at the radio station who needs their hair done. And I was like, bingo, I need that one. That's my motto right there. So I went to the radio station. I prayed about it before I got there. I was like, oh, this is my chance. You know, they're thinking I'm going to do hair, but I knew I wanted to get that.
You're going for a job.
Right, exactly. They had no idea. And sure enough, me and Precise, we clicked really well that day. Before the end of the show, before the end of the night, he was asking me if I wanted to do something like that and be a part of radio.
So prior to 94.5 The Beat, what did people in Waco listen to if they wanted hip hop?
97.9 The Beat in
so
Dallas.
So just getting it from the Dallas stations.
Yeah, K104 in Dallas. Radio stations, like, that's what I grew up on, was those Dallas stations.
Yeah, I listened to K104
right.
And 97.9.
106.1, you know, things like that where you would get more, because Waco didn't have that hip hop.
So the scene in Waco, if they want to hear hip hop, they used to have to listen to Dallas or Austin stations. Now Waco has its own hip hop scene and its own station in 94.5. What are people listening to on 94.5 that's different from what they're hearing on 97.9? Because I'm sure it's a lot of the same songs, but there's a personality among the DJs at 94.5 in Waco.
There's DJ Precise, there's me, and you know, all of us who are, you know, right here in Waco, where you can touch us, you can see us. You know, we're at the events. We do high school pep rallies. We do kickballs with the elementary school. You know, the first day of school, DJ Precise is out there giving out donuts to the kids. Things like that. I think that makes a big difference because we give out turkeys on Thanksgiving. Things like that. You know, you don't get that from 97.9 or any station in Waco, honestly. You don't get things like that from, you know, you just get it from 94.5. We're at the high school pep rallies, you know. We do everything for the community.
You can hear the Queen of the Co. on 94.5 The Beat from 6 to 9 p.m. on Saturday nights. How do you put together a 3-hour set list? What does that process look like for you? You're listening to different artists throughout the week, or does the station say, hey, you need to play these tracks?
Well, my thing, my set is only one day out of the week, and so much stuff happens during the week, so I can't report what happened on Monday. They've already covered that. I love when things come out Friday night, and I got on the first one. I'm like, okay, I get to talk about this. Nobody's talked about it. You know, it just
so, like,
happened.
What's an example? Like, what's happening in the hip-hop world right now?
Oh, man, I wish I could give you an example because, you know, I don't know.
We'll have to wait till Saturday night to listen.
Right. Because things, you know, it's funny because, you know, Friday nights are like club nights or things that, you know, concert nights. So if an artist does something, you know, outrageous that night and it's all over social media the next morning or even, you know, the next morning, you know, by Saturday night, I'm the first one who can report it. And then if I hear it on another station or another jock talking about it on Monday or Tuesday, I'm like, I already covered that. So I get a little head start if it happens on the weekend.
What are your early musical influences and how did you end up wanting to be working at a hip hop radio station?
You know, it's funny because the music I grew up to is so diverse, from Ozzy Osbourne to, you know, my mom would listen to New Edition. She'd listen to James Brown. She'd listen to Spanish music. She had such a different collection. She'd have the best hits of the 80s, best hits of the 70s. You know, the CD that comes with the top songs of that era, like, that's what she would listen to. And she's surprising even now when she'd listen to old songs, and I know every word, and she's like, what do you know about that, girl? And I'm like, I grew up on that. So, yeah, she listened to everything from R&B, rock, you know, country music. She listened to Shania Twain a lot, you know, all that. She instilled in me music from it all, you know, every genre.
I love watching music evolve from afar, and you do see how the best of one era ends up surfacing in another era. So, for instance, right now there's a young group called Chloe and Halle. These two sisters, and I saw Beyonce post about them recently, but they basically grew up listening to 90s and 2000s R&B divas like Mariah Carey and Ashanti. And so they take hooks from their famous songs and they reinterpret them and package them for kids in 2020 to listen to. And maybe you wouldn't have listened to Selena back then, but now you are introduced to a new Selena song. And it's like you can reimagine these truly classic songs in a million different ways.
Right. I think that's awesome too, because you go back and listen to that original, and then it like not knowing it, you hearing it for the first time for the younger generation, and then you see where it came from, and it's awesome to see what they could do with a new song. Usher has a new one out with Summer Walker, where he did a remix to My Way, his old song.
Wow.
But I said, what an honor for Summer Walker to have the remix with the original singer. So I love when they remix songs like that. It's awesome.
So on the radio station, you're playing Usher, you're playing Summer Walker. Is there an opportunity for you to play local hip hop as well? Does 94.5 The Beat do that? Are there local hip hop artists in Waco that we should be listening to?
Oh, definitely hip hop artists we should be listening to. They should have their own station, actually, because there's so much talent here. We do hip hop parties where we, you know, have all the local artists. It's basically only local artists. And you would see so much talent that you never even knew existed. We started that last year. We have, you know, our podcast as well, the Private Hip Hop Podcast. These artists are so talented. The only thing that they're missing is exposure. And that's it. But there is days on the radio station. Sunday night, Precise does street beats where he plays underground music. All you have to do is email your song to him, as long as it's clean and it's radio edited. They can play that, have someone call in there requesting your song, you know, things like that. As long as Size has it, he'll put it in when people are requesting and things like that. So we also do a Texas Tuesday mix where he plays just Texas artists. So that's another way that some of our locals get in the mix at 9 o'clock on Tuesdays.
And this is something that if you were still just streaming The Beat from Dallas or K104, you would not be hearing those Waco artists on there, most likely.
Definitely. Even we do interviews with some of our local artists. We've had them at our station. And that's something you can't just walk up to 97.9 The Beat and get easily. You know, you would have to really pay some extra money to get an interview, to get your song played, stuff like that. But we actually take pride in that. I know DJ Precise shows love to everyone. If you haven't had your music played on the radio, it's because he doesn't have it or you didn't ask him to do it, because he shows love to everyone, even if it's not as good as it should be.
One thing that I appreciate about hip hop, and this is myself as a hip hop fan, is that it brings together so many different types of people. Like, I'm a white college-educated male who loves hip-hop. You're a Latina woman who loves hip-hop. You're working at the station with DJ Precise, who's a black man who loves hip-hop. Where do you see the role of hip-hop in community development and community in Waco? Like, is hip-hop something that can really bring us together? Because, you know, it's easy to think of, you know, NWA in the 90s and making songs about police brutality that really did drive people in different directions, or someone like Tupac Shakur, who would have, I think, Mothers Against Drunk Driving or something, came out against Pac and said, hey, we don't want our kids listening to the music that you're saying. But hip hop has become so impermeated with our general culture that there's really not a way to keep it from, you know, from the culture, from the movement itself. Is that right?
Right. I think some people do have a negative perception on rap music or hip hop music, but it's such a broad genre where, you know, you have some artists who are hip hop artists who have a really good message in their music, and they're not talking about drugs and sex and violence. They're not. It's just their hip hop is just a hip hop. You know, I know sometimes I would listen to the hip hop music at the salon, and it sounds like it's, you know, a bunch of gibberish. But when you're actually listening to it, there's a message in there. So for somebody who's used to listening to country music all day long, or even jazz all day long, and you turn up hip hop, it's like it's a whole, you know, it shakes your world a little bit. But if you really sit down and listen to some music, there is messages. And I think that's with every genre. You know, I think, you know, I can listen to, you know, rock music and they're talking about drugs too, you know, or sex and things like that. They just don't get the same negative perception as hip hop does.
Yeah, you're so right. And I'm trying to figure out why that is, because we do have the quote unquote bad things in every genre. But also, like, we've seen how even country music and rap can come together and create new something. I just think that hip hop is so unique in that it really does bring in all of these different groups of people in a way that, like, country music probably doesn't.
Right.
Classical music probably doesn't. There's something special about hip hop.
And I think it's because it doesn't leave anyone out. whether you have money or you don't, you can find a hip hop artist that can you can relate to. And I honestly, it's funny to me that like how you said we can how can it bring us community together when you see the protestings that are going out right now. I feel like you see the diversity in the protesting. You see how we care for one another. It doesn't matter what music they listen to. It's just the struggle that other people can recognize. And I don't have to know someone to have compassion for them. But I feel like even like the music, I don't have to have experienced that. But I can hear it. I can know that it's real what they're saying. And I can appreciate that.
You are hearing from the Queen of the Co, Mary Jane Evans, here on Downtown Depot, 103.3 FM. We've talked about your work on 94.5 The Beat, but I want to dive in a little bit more to your work as a small business owner. So you own Chronic Beauty Bar in Beverly Hills. You had been in Dallas studying cosmetology. What's that experience been like having your own shop here?
Well, I just opened this month, actually, so I'm new as a salon owner. I'm building it, recruiting people to come in. I have two new a stylist and a esthetician that's joining me on the first, so that's going to be exciting.
Congratulations.
We've been remodeling, painting, doing all. It's actually not as stressful as I would have thought it had been. If I would have known it was this, you know, breeze, I probably would have did it a long time ago. But, you know, timing is everything. And I think that it was the right time for me to fly. I have been working with my friends at the salon prior to this. And we grew that business from the bottom up. And we were there for 2 years. We opened it up together. And, you know, after 2 years, I love those girls. I learned so much from them. But I was ready to start my own family and, you know, build my own business.
So what's something that you learned from the process of running this business with your friends for a couple of years that you're going to be taking into your own venture?
Definitely teamwork makes the dream work. I wouldn't have been able to open my salon if it wasn't for Kendra, who's the salon owner at Beyond the Chair. If it wasn't for her just being so patient with me when I was leaving, I guess she was just showing me everything. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to need this. You're going to need that. You know, she even gave me, you know, two gift bags of, like, cleaning things and things that that she could think of that I would need, you know, opening up the shop. That was a blessing. It was a blessing. So I feel like some people in the salon business, it's competitive. It's very competitive. So I don't think she had that easy. You know, when she was opening her business, she didn't have that support.
Someone wasn't making her a gift basket to go open up competition.
Yes, exactly. And I think, like, to become a competition, right?
Sure.
And we're best friends, though. We grew up elementary, middle, and high school. We grew up together, so that made it a lot easier, too. So I think the best thing about them, too, are we became family, and I support them completely. If there's a service that I don't provide, I'll definitely send them over to them.
So what would be the difference in the experience were I to come to your shop? Like, what's going to be unique about Chronic?
Well, I got the dopest hairstyles. I got the dopest environment. I just, you know, me, I think my personality sticks out. I'm very relatable. I'm hilarious. I like to cater to my guys. I have a lot of guy clients. That's why I named it Chronic Beauty Bar, because I didn't want it a girly name. I wanted it to be kind of like my name, but not my name. So, I wanted it to be appealing to my guy clients. So I think I give that environment where it is a beauty salon, but it's not a girly, you know, it's a cool vibe. It's a cool vibe. That's all.
And how did you decide that Beverly Hills was the right location for this?
Well, I guess the price of the building, the price, I lived right down the street from this property, and I kept seeing it for rent. Right before quarantine, I seen it for rent, and I called out of curiosity just to see how much it was for leasing. And then we went into quarantine, in which I couldn't work. Salons were shut down for 2 months. So that thought was out of my mind. You know, I didn't even consider ever calling again. I can't even do hair. So then once we went back into work, I called it again. I know I heard God tell me, just call again. I called it again, and they went down on the rent. And it was like a sign from God to say, you know, this is your time. This is the building for you. So I went inside and looked at it and started the process after that. Literally right after quarantine.
Are you just as excited as you were a couple months ago about the idea, or has quarantine changed the way that you think you're going to operate your business?
I'm still excited. I don't, honestly, this whole COVID, it's sad and it's scary, but I feel like we can still move on. We can still, I think it's all in our mind, the fear and the, as long as we take the precautions and do what they're telling us, I think it's okay. It is scary when you think about the numbers and things, people who are dying and people who are getting sick. But I feel like the media likes to play on that fear, and they don't expose the amount of recoveries. Like, how many people have recovered from this? How many people go on and live a normal life after that? It's okay. You know, you might get it, but you could survive it. It's like they say, catching the flu or things like that. It could be dangerous for some people to catch the flu. It could be really dangerous for someone to catch pneumonia. And it's scary, but we're all still eating bad. You know what I mean? We all still eat bad. We're not scared of cancer. You know what I mean? Like, we're still, you know, we're still operating with cancer being, you know, a big killer in our society. So I think I don't live in fear. I don't like to live in fear, and I don't like it to control me. So,
well, literally all the evidence points to the fact that we can do 99% of the things we want to do if you just wear a mask.
Right.
So just wear a mask. You can literally go do whatever else you want. So
Right. Wear
a mask. Keep yourself safe. Keep everyone else safe. And show respect for your fellow people. That's
right. The
most important thing to me. I heard through the grapevine that you have a really big heart and that you're a servant and that you have, it was described to me as a boys and girls club. I know that that's its own thing, but you really have something deep inside of you that wants to help out your community. Can you give me an idea for what that might look like?
I do want a youth center. I want a youth center. Maybe a Boys and Girls Club mixed with the Y, something like that. Something, an alternative, actually. I just want an alternative for at-risk kids to go to. I really want to make a change in my community. I want to be there for those kids who don't have anyone to look up to, don't have someone that they can point to and say, if she can do it, I can do it. Because I did have a rough childhood here in Waco. And that's why I want to live in Waco and make my change here in Waco. Because I don't think... Me growing up, I didn't have someone to say, hey, I was in that juvenile center you're in. I went to that runaway shelter. You know, things like that. I think that'll make all the difference for me to reach out to kids like that.
Particularly as someone from South Waco.
I'm not from South Waco. I'm from North Waco.
Oh, okay.
But I am. I'm from Waco. Growing up, I was in Northside, but I don't care where you're from, what side of town you're from. You know, East Waco is a pretty place that needs a lot of attention too when it comes to the kids. East Waco Y. I have my kids playing at the East Waco Y, and I know it's a little disorganized. It's a little like low funds, things like that. You can tell the major difference when you go to the West Waco Y and when you go to the East Waco Y. There's a huge difference. For one example, when I went in the summer last year, we would go swimming to the West Waco Y in the summer because of it's so pretty out there, right? But if you go to the East Waco Y, half of the stuff isn't working. You know, the little buckets that fall over and things like that. They just have the pool to swim in. And I felt like if the West Waco Y's buckets had stopped working, they would fix that immediately. You know what I mean? But because it's in East Waco and these are underprivileged kids, you know, they're okay with just a little swimming pool. They're happy kids with that swimming pool. But me looking out, you know, from the outside, I'm like, they really need help out here. And I kept my kids there because I felt like I wanted my kids to have that diversity. You know, I wanted them to be with the other kids to, you know, just to have those relationships. And I know that it's a little disorganized because I've had parents tell me, oh, I don't like my kids going to that one. You know, they're a little disorganized. And I'm like, I know, but I know why they're disorganized. You know what I mean? They need parents. They need volunteers. They need help out there. And it's not going to change if I take my kid out.
I think that's so wise what you're saying, because it's very possible the parents who are there watching their kids swim and the bucket isn't flipping over. Well, they don't realize that the bucket's supposed to flip over. And it's because it's never flipped over since they started going there. So they are – it's not as if they're bad parents or they don't recognize that something should be better. They've just had a worse version of the same thing that the rest of us get to enjoy.
Right.
So it's so important for people like you to go in and say, okay, maybe these other parents aren't able or aren't willing to be vocal about it, but I'm going to make sure that the bucket flips over when my kids are here at least.
Right.
And further recognizing that it's not just a social worker who does this stuff. It's not just someone who works at the Y. It's you. It's the person in your community. And you're doing it not just for the betterment of your kids, but for everyone who lives
right.
in Waco and everyone who lives in the neighborhood.
Definitely.
And if more people can step up to that responsibility and that challenge of making Waco an equally great place for everyone who's here, the whole community will be stronger.
Definitely, definitely. I know I go by the Queen of the Co, and I don't think that I have lived up to that title yet, but I definitely will. There's things that I cannot leave here until I die with that title. When it's like it's understood all around from east side and north side and all around that I did everything that I could, you know, for my community.
Well, you're giving yourself some big shoes to fill here. But I think you can do it. I mean, obviously, you have the strength of your personality that shows every Saturday night on the show. You have the small business side of you. And then you have this like terrific depth of emotion. And really, it seems like you had some hard things happen in your life. And so you want to do everything you can to make it less hard for the kids who follow after you. Is that right?
Definitely, definitely. I do volunteer with the youth at my church. And one youth one time, she said that she doesn't feel like she's had a big experience with God because she hasn't been through a lot. And I was like, baby girl, I don't want you to think that you have to go through a lot to experience God. You don't have to go through a lot. There's a lot of things that God wants to protect you from. And I just don't want them to feel like that they have to do that. You know, they have to get lost to get found. I want to save them from that as much as I could.
Mary Jane Evans is the Queen of the Co. Sweet enough to join me here on Downtown Depot this week. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks again to Mary Jane Evans and to you for tuning in to Downtown Depot. It's truly an honor for me to host my show on these airwaves, and I'm so grateful to the professionals in this building and the financial supporters outside of it who make it all possible. Find more episodes on your favorite streaming service and follow me on social media for updates in between episodes. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.